How Satan would have loved to destroy my soul. That was his burning desire. Till one day, by grace, through faith in a cross, the Lamb's blood put out that fire.
Hallelujah!
I'm saved, I'm saved, redeemed and set free. No longer a poor sinner lost. For between me and the flames of hell is the blood of an old rugged cross. It's the same blood that stands in the gap for us all. Fire can't burn a blood-washed soul. We could all be sent to a fiery pit, but for that sweet Lamb from whose veins it flows, I'm saved, redeemed and set free. No longer a poor sinner lost, for between me and the flames of hell is the blood of an old rugged cross. For between me and the flames of hell is the blood of an old rugged cross.
Amen.
Good singing, brother. Amen. That was good stuff right there, man. Aren't you glad you came today?
Amen.
I think we're going to church wherever he's going next week. Amen. Remain standing. Brother Ruggland's going to deliver the sermon this morning, so I'm going to keep all the boys and girls here together and suffer the rest of the adults suffer. Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, again, it's our opportunity, or excuse me, I should say it's our privilege, amen, to have the opportunity to be able to be here this morning and to be able to preach the Word of God. We're thankful. Man, I feel like, you know, and I think some of you know what I'm talking about when I say this. Sometimes you just go to church, but then sometimes you go to church, amen? And I feel like we've already been to church this morning, amen? That singing has been good. And, man, I appreciate hearing the love of God in another language. I'm telling you, man, I know I'm a white American. Listen, God's not a white American.
Amen.
Amen. He's not. God's God. Amen.
Amen.
God desires to hear people Amen. Praising his name from every kindred. Amen. Yeah. Every tribe and every tongue. Amen. And so we sure are thankful that, you know, some folks say, well, you know, I'm telling you, man, you just listen to some folks and they say, well, you know, God meets down there in the southeast part of the country. Yeah. But you get up in the northern part of the country and it's just dead and cold. But we've been to church this morning, amen. And God's met with us here, amen. And I thank the Lord for that. I really do. So we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 22 this morning. If you have your Bibles, Ezekiel 22. And we are going to pick up reading in verse number 23. And I want to read the remainder of the chapter from Ezekiel 22, verses 23 down to verse 31. And I want to zoom in on verse 30, but let's get the context first. The Bible said, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, and by the way, I will try my best for translator purposes to go slow. Sometimes when I go slow, believe it or not, I used to have a real bad stuttering problem. And when I go slow, sometimes I stutter. And so I'll try, all right? Not to stutter, but I'll try to go slow, all right? And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. So let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray now again this morning, thanking you that we can say we've been to church in the sense not just coming to a building, not just meeting with your church, but Lord God, you make all the difference when you make yourself manifest in our presence. I know that, Lord, you indwell us and that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. But Lord, there's something about coming to the house of God and being able to sense your presence in the house of God through the singing of the songs of Zion and the spirit of God's people. And Lord, we know that you inhabit the praises of your people. And so I thank you, Lord, for being present among us. And now I pray, Lord, that thy spirit would, Lord, work to and fro in each heart, in each life. You know the need. I don't. I'm just the man delivering the message. But I pray that you would work in hearts as I preach to ears, as I preach to faces. Lord God, I pray that thy spirit would take these timeless truths of thy word and speak to hearts. And we'll thank you for what's accomplished. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as we look at Ezekiel chapter 22, and we look at this passage of Scripture, we find the nation who was the apple of God's eye, the nation of Israel. God in the Old Testament, we touched on that just a tad bit in the Sunday school class this morning, but God picked up the nation of Israel. God brought them out of what he called the house of bondage, out of what he called an iron furnace. God delivered them. God separated them unto himself as a peculiar people. But as we come to Ezekiel 22, we find a lot of history has gone by. We see a nation that's risen out of the desert sands of Egypt. We see a nation that's come through a wilderness into the promised land. We see a nation that's come to the zenith of her power there with King David and King Solomon ruling and reigning from Jerusalem there in Israel. And we've come through that time period and we've come down a pretty good ways in their history where they've come now to a low point in their history. These are the people that have been redeemed by God. These are the people that God views as the apple of his eye, his covenant people, his chosen people, and they've come to a place where they have rebelled against God. And if you read those verses and noticed as we read together, God indicted the whole nation. God, as we read our text, it's an indictment from the people to the priest, to the princes and the prophets. God covers every group of people, and God said, you're all rebelling against me. You're all conspiring against me. And they had come to a place in their history where God tells us in our text that not only was there not a godly person left in the land, God said there wasn't a man who would stand on his behalf between him and the people to intercede for the land. And we find in verse number 30, God saying, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap. And I was raised, my dad's a pastor. I was raised in church. I was raised in revival meetings, in camp meetings, hearing the principles of God's word being taught. And I've heard many times throughout my life messages about standing in the gap and making up the hedge. But man, as I was reading my Bible one day, man, God really zeroed me in on this verse, just going through my regular Bible reading, and I began to look at that phrase, and I thought, I want to see for myself. I want to do my own word search. I want to find out what it means to stand in the gap. What kind of a man God looking for? What's it mean when God said he looked for a man that would make up the hedge, and then God said he couldn't find one? And so let me just give you some definitions here. Now, I will say this. It's going to be a very long introduction and a very short message, all right? So the introduction, boy, I'm telling you, don't get scared. If you look at your clock, say amen, you say he's still in the introduction, all right? The actual message is real short, so just he that endureth to the end shall be saved. All right, now, the hedge here, the hedge speaks of a border. It speaks of a fence or a wall. And the hedge of protection for the nation of Israel was the holy law of God. In Old Testament times, Jericho would be a wonderful example. They would build walls. They would build borders. They would have a hedge around the city. The idea was to keep people on the inside safe and to keep the bad guys from getting into where the good guys were, amen? It was to keep the enemies on the outside. That is the idea of a fence or a wall or a border. It's to keep bad people out. You know, it's funny. I tell people I've got, you know, I mean, all of us have houses, right? Most of us do, all right? And so we got a house to live in. We're surrounded by walls and we've got a door. And, you know, I've got a door on my house. And the door is not just to keep the weather out. It's to keep bad people out. In fact, I tell people, well, I'm not going to say right now what I tell people, but I'll say it this way. The door is more for their safety than it is for mine. Amen. I can promise you that. Amen. And you don't want to come wandering into my house at nighttime. Amen. It would not be a safe place for you. All right. And so I'm just simply saying that this hedge, this wall, this border is designed to protect the people that's on the inside. Amen. Now, God is looking here at the nation of Israel and saying, I need a man that'll stand in the hedge, that'll make up, or stand in the gap, make up the hedge. And we find that the law of God has been the holy hedge or the wall or the border of protection, separating them from the enemies of God, separating them from ungodliness, separating a nation from lawlessness. God give us his law so that we could be a law-abiding people, that we could be a godly people. And they had rebelled against it. And so, typically, symbolically, if I can say it that way, as God looks spiritually, he sees that there are large portions in the wall that's broken down. He sees that which would divide and separate them as his people from the world has been broken down. And now there's nobody to protect them from his enemies. And frankly, because they tore the wall, the enemies didn't tear the wall down. They tore the walls down. Now they have put themselves in a place where they are the enemies of God. In fact, if you look in this passage, we find that God didn't say that I'm looking for a man to stand in the gap, make up the hedge to keep the Philistines out, or the Amorites out, or the Amalekites out, or some other kind of ites out. Amen. God said, I sought for a man to stand in the gap, make up the hedge so that I would not destroy the land. And we find a people who positionally, they are God's covenant people as they always have been, always will be, but practically they have put themselves into the place of being the enemies of God. In much the same way, the Christian who is positionally a child of God, I'm washed in the blood of Christ. Amen. When God sees me, he sees me through the blood of his son. Amen. He sees the righteousness of his son imputed to my account. I can preach on that and shout all morning. Amen. I'm saved by the good grace of God. I'm no longer sinner James. I'm Saint James. Amen. God sees Christ in me, and he sees me in Christ. But practically, as I live my life on this earth, amen, I could set myself at enmity. I will never in my position be the enemy of God, ever. Because therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. But James chapter number 4 said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Amen. Whosoever, and I'm sorry, I'm going fast. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
Yes, sir.
We can put ourselves in a place where we are the enemies of God, practically speaking.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want to switch gears just a bit. Just as God looked at the nation of Israel, and God said, here is a nation that are my covenant people, and I have designed my law to be their protection, and my holiness to be a hedge around them, but they've tore down the barrier of holiness, they've tore down that wall of protection, and God knew, listen, and I'm going to try my best, I won't say anything else about it, but I'm going to try to go as slow as I can, all right?
Preach, bro.
God knew that he had already spoken Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, God had a man stand on the mountaintop over here and tell his covenant people, if you do this, if you do this, if you do this, if you obey me, if you keep my commandments, if you love me with all your heart, I will bless you like you ain't never seen the blessings of God. Theirs was an earthly promise, and God told them, man, listen, you won't have diseases. Man, your wives will have kids, amen, that are coming out your ears, amen. You'll have fullness. You'll have fatness. I mean, you'll have friendships. I mean, God just goes down. Man, you'll have finances. He said, man, I'll bless you. But God also said to his covenant people, his earthly people, God said, now, if you walk out on me, if you turn your back on me, if you get in the land and you get full and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the house of bondage,
yes, sir,
here's what I'm going to do. And if you don't repent, here's what I'm going to do. And he reads the curses.
Yes, sir.
And I mean, just as awesome and as exciting as those blessings were, those curses were just as horrible and horrendous on the other side. I mean, he said, I bring you to a place where you are killing and eating your own kids
yes, sir.
Just to live because of how starved you are. I mean, God made it pretty clear. Well, now Israel has come to that place. Sad. Israel has come to a place. The children of God, by covenant, by an unconditional covenant, by an everlasting covenant, they have put themselves in a place where God, though they're his covenant people, has got to treat them like the enemy.
Yes, sir.
And God said, I will have to come in, and I will have to destroy the land.
Yes, sir.
But let me just ask a question. This ain't a trick question. You think God wanted to destroy the land? No. You think God wanted them to eat their own babies? You think God wanted to send them out into captivity around the world? No, absolutely not. And in our text, God said, I sought for a man. They've done this, they've done this, they've done this. I am a just God, I am a holy God. And here's what I said I would do to them if they disobeyed me and they rebelled. And the whole nation has disobeyed me. The whole nation has rebelled. And now my judgment must come forth. But even in judgment, God is remembering mercy. And God said, I'm looking for a man. Why are you looking for a man, God? God said, I need a man that'll stand between me and the people. I need a man that'll stand in the gap,
yes,
where that wall's been broken, that will protect them from the judgment of God.
Amen.
God was looking for a man who would be an interceder, who would be an interposer, who would be an intercessor, a man who would stand between heaven and hell,
Amen.
A man who would stand between holiness and sinfulness,
Amen.
A man who would stand between a father and his rebellious children, between God and Israel, and literally represent God to the people of Israel and say, here's what his law says, here is what he's going to do to you if you don't repent. And then on the other side,
yes,
to represent the people to God and beg for God's mercy,
Amen.
And intercede on behalf of the people. God was looking for a man in this text, kind of like a man like Abraham, who would stand before Sodom, between God and Sodom. And he would say, Lord God, if there's 50 people in the land, I know you want to destroy it. You have to destroy it.
Yes,
the wickedness has come up. But if there's 50 people, oh God, will you destroy it for 50 righteous? And God said, if there's 50 righteous, I won't destroy it. What's Abraham doing? He's interceding. He said, Lord God, how about if there's 45 people? Would you destroy it for 45? And I'm paraphrasing. I'm not giving you the exact words now, okay? Because I didn't memorize it all right? And if you want to memorize it, you memorize it, amen? And I'll try, all right? But he said, I'm looking for 40. And he said, there's 45. He said, 40. He said, man, I take it on me to speak dust. I'm just dust and ashes. And I'm speaking to the God of heaven. But God, if there's 30, and he gets down to 20, and he gets down to 10, what's Abraham doing? He's playing the part of a go-between. He's playing the part of a gap stander,
yes,
a hedge maker-upper, amen. He's trying to stand between Sodom and God. I want to say this real quickly, and I'm not trying to make people glad necessarily. I ain't trying to make people mad necessarily. But I'm going to say we need some go-betweens between God and Sodom today,
amen.
We need somebody, amen, that'll go between God and them and try to say there's a God who loves you so much. He died on the cross,
amen,
for your sins. He shed his blood for you, and he'll save you. Someone who will represent the hopeless,
Amen.
And the mercy of God to them, and someone who will plead to God on their behalf. Amen.
Amen.
Before we cuss and swear and send them all to hell. Amen.
Amen.
Why don't we start praying for them? Amen. And pray for the mercy of God on them. Amen.
Amen.
Because they deserve it. Not deserving, none of us deserve mercy, but they need the good mercy of God just like we do.
Amen.
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 I'm going to say God needs a go-between. I got it. Hold on. Let me back up. I want to finish out my introduction first, all right? I'm saying God's looking for a man like Abraham. Now, I reckon that with Abraham, we could look and say, well, he failed. I don't know that he failed. He interceded to God on behalf of the righteous down there, amen. He got the righteous out.
Amen.
I mean, locked God out, didn't he, amen? I mean, you know, you say, well, he'd got down to 5. Well, he didn't. He got to 10. But the point I'm trying to make is not on what he did as much on the intercessory work.
Amen.
That's the kind of man God's looking for.
Amen.
There's a man by the name of Jonah. Let me just
swear, bro.
Talk about Jonah. Jonah did not want to be the man.
Yeah.
Not at all. Jonah, how would you like it if God reached down to you and you this morning and said, sir, I want you to be a missionary to ISIS. I mean, I don't want you to go to their training camps. I want you to go right where they all have. You're going to be a missionary to ISIS.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
You say, I didn't commit terrorist attacks.
Right.
That's the people that put people in dangers and burn them alive.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. They're beheaded people.
Yeah,
but now, Lord, think you got the wrong guy. That's not how Jonah was.
Yeah.
It was like, Lord, now I can't go to Nineveh. I mean, Nineveh, they persecuted the people for
Bible were the wives. He said, that's nasty. That's the people God said Jonah to. I mean, before we all just jump on Jonah's back and say, man, what a rotten guy he was. I understand, amen, that he looked at these people and said, man, these people, they're doing my people. They're rising with their mother. These are not my strong people. And God said, well, listen, Jonah, shouldn't I have mercy on the city where there's 10,000, or excuse me, there was 120,000 people, I believe, in
yes,
the back of the day. He said, don't go to the right hand or the left. Amen. Yeah. That's children. That's a little bit. God said, look at all the people that I don't want to destroy them. I'm not preaching on Jonah. You know, God made Jonah good out of there. I mean, Jonah. I mean, God was looking for a man. Jonah really was going to go. God said, guess what, Jonah, you're going. Jonah said, I think I'll go, Lord, but then the point is both the other way. And Jonah got there through the belly of the whale express. Amen. And he got beached. It wasn't the whale that got beached. It was the man of God. Right? Amen. And thank God for the next week. Because God said the word before came to Jonah the second time. Amen. The message the second time was the same as the first time. I want you to go. Now, all we're trying to make is that God was searching for a man who found Abram. God was searching for a man who found Jonah. He said, Jonah, the Lord, you may not know, but God was searching for a man who found Abram. And God got the man out of there. And guess what? They repented.
Amen.
God was happy. Now, why was God happy? Why did God want them to repent? Because I submit to you this morning that God today, 2017, just as God back in Jonah's day, just as God in Abraham's day, just as God, for that matter, in Noah's day, God has never taken pleasure in the death of the wicked.
Amen.
We look at wicked people and we say, look how wicked they are.
Yes, sir.
Look how ungodly they are. Look how liberal they are. Look at how rotten their policies are. And I agree with all the above statements. Amen. But I'm telling you, God, when he looks at them, he said, they are sinners who I've died for.
Yes, sir. Man.
I love them.
Yes,
and I want to save them by my grace. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the world that you and I are living in today has approximately 7.5 billion people. You say, I had a person tell me just a few weeks ago, he said, I wish you'd quit floating numbers like that. Numbers bore me. I said, well, my friend, and I was as nice because I try to be non-confrontational. I said, my friend, they may bore you, but they don't bore God.
Amen.
God knows every one of those 7.5 billion
yes,
people.
Sir,
God has the hairs on every one of those individuals' heads counted, amen.
Yes,
and God is not willing that one of them perish, but that all come to repentance. And God in 2017, June the 4th of 2017, is just as passionate about the 7.5 billion people that are upon this planet today. He's just as passionate about reaching them with his gospel as he was in the very moment that he was bleeding and dying on Calvary.
Yes,
his passion for souls has not diminished
Amen.
By 1 ounce. His passion for souls has not Amen. Diminished from that moment when he shed his blood. His attitude was then, as the wickedest of the wicked said, crucify him. We want to see him die. We want to see him crucified. Crucify him, crucify him. And he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they
Amen.
Do. What are you saying? I'm saying God loves sinners.
Amen.
God's brought you and me to the kingdom. Feeling pretty good now, all right? God's brought you and me to the kingdom for such a time as this. 7.5 billion people. I don't know how many people's in Troy. I don't know how many people's in Connecticut, in Latham or Latham or in New York. I don't know. I know there's a lot over New York City. I don't know how many people's here. I know in America there's like 327 million people, I think. And across West Africa, there's 335 million people. And across the entire continent of Africa, there's over a billion. You said, what are you saying? I'm saying of all the people in our world, listen to me, between 2.8 and 3.5 billion. Are you aware? I just want to make you aware of something this morning. Between 2.8, that is between 33 and 48% of your world that you're living in. The same planet. We're all on the same planet. Between 33 and 48% of them have never heard the name of Jesus Christ one time. You say, it's impossible, preacher. I'm just telling you.
Yes,
that's
sir.
That's the facts as they
yes,
are.
Sir.
I have never had a day of my life go by where I did not hear not only the name of Jesus Christ, but songs about Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Verses about Jesus Christ. It is a way of life
yes,
to me.
Sir.
It is my worldview. Paul said, for me to live as Christ, I got saved at the age of 17, and that is the testimony of my life for me to live as Christ. But I'm telling you, I have been brought to the kingdom, as have you, in a time when anywhere between 33 and 48% of our world has never heard it. They're being brought up in closed countries, friends,
yes,
where they are not allowed to speak the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Now I'll ask you a question. God wasn't willing that anybody
Jerusalem perish, he was looking for a man. God wasn't willing. He never takes pleasure in the death of the wicked. He just doesn't. He is not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. But can I ask you a question this morning, a soul-searching question? Here it is. If you don't go, how will they know?
Amen.
If we don't tell the world about Jesus Christ, Romans 10 said it like this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him who has not heard?
Yes, sir.
We can look at the world and say, well, I'll tell you right now, half of our world's almost Muslim out there. I mean, half of our world brings this weird system and flies planes into buildings, and I'm against all that stuff, amen? But I'm going to tell you something. That's all they know. Because they're raised from little boys in little schools. That's what they're trained. That's what they're taught. You say, well, man, the answer is Jesus Christ. I agree, the answer is Jesus Christ. But if they don't know the answer, how can they get saved? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yes,
how then shall they call on him in whom they've not heard?
Amen.
And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Amen.
And how shall they preach except they be sent?
Amen.
Our Lord talking about this very subject, the very exact subject I'm talking about this morning. The Bible said, look at the multitudes. I mean, he saw the masses of people. And he was moved with compassion. And he said, the harvest is plenteous.
Yes, sir.
All the people out there. And he said, the laborers, they're few.
What? Amen.
God took notice of the disparity between the great harvest and the few reapers. He always does. You know why? Because he's always looking for a man. He's always looking for a woman. He's always looking for a boy or a girl who'll be a go-between. Someone who'll stand between the world and himself. Someone who'll stand between sinners for whom he died himself. Someone who'll sell sacrifices we talked about in the Sunday school hour. My life, the energy of my body, the resources of the mental, I mean, my intellect. I'll give everything I have. I mean, I'm not trying to lift up. I just met your pastor, all right? But man, I appreciate your pastor, man. God's using him here. And I found out yesterday he's driving 3.5 hours. One way every Sunday. That's 7 hours on a Sunday to go have another church, be preaching another place because he has a passion to reach people. God is looking for people who will sacrifice, people that will say, I'll spend my life and my money and my gas money. Amen. And whatever other, I mean, I'll spend everything I have trying to reach my world with the gospel of the grace of God. God's looking for men. Now, just real quickly, got ahead of myself. Over here, he said, I sought for men. That word sought, it means to look for. It means to beseech. It means to inquire after. It means to beg. It means to plead. So here is Israel in the text. They've set themselves where the judgment of God must fall, but God is looking for. God is searching for. God is begging for. God is pleading for. Amen. Just amen.
Yes, sir.
That'll represent him to them. So that they will grab on to his mercy and accept his mercy.
Yes, sir.
But he found nobody. And today, God is looking for a man.
Amen.
Just one man. It's amazing what God can do with just one individual who sold out to serving him. God's looking for a man this morning. A woman this morning. A boy or girl this morning. Just an individual who will say, I'll be willing to be that go-between. Listen, I'm not asking you to be a missionary to Africa this morning. I wish everybody would go, amen. But I'm not asking you to. I'm asking you, will you be a go-between between God and your neighbor?
Amen, brother.
How about God and people in the apartment complex?
Amen, brother.
How about God and the people whose street you live on? Amen.
Amen.
How about God and the town you're living in right now? God said, I'm looking for a man for Troy. Amen.
Amen.
I'm looking for another man in this apartment complex. I'm looking for someone on that street. Because I'm telling you, friends, if we don't go, the police ain't having traffic jams trying to help people get to sinners that need the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. We got to go. If we don't go, they're not going to. We do not will if we do not tell. If we don't get the gospel to them, they're not going to get the gospel. Do you understand that this morning?
Sir,
the world around us is dying and going to hell.
Yes,
and we have the truth of the word of God and can reach them with the life-changing message that Jesus saves. Amen. But they can't accept salvation if they've never heard about salvation.
Yeah.
I know we can't force them to be saved, but I'm telling you, man, we can make the gospel available to them.
Amen.
We can make the gospel accessible to them.
Amen.
God simply needs a man who'll stand in the gap for the people on his street. A woman who'll stand in the gap and say, God,
amen,
I represent the people on 116th Street. I represent the people over here in my district. I represent the people. Oh, God, I'll represent you to my people. I'll tell
amen
them about you. And, oh, God, I'll get on my knees. And I'll pray to my God for their souls. Amen. And I'll pray.
Amen.
I know we can't make people get saved, but I believe we can pray conviction down. Amen.
Amen.
I believe we can pray for long nights and really short beds. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, I'm telling you, I believe we can pray, amen. And God will answer our prayer and wake them up at night and tell them, I mean, just in there, just get them thinking about what you've witnessed them about. But if you don't ever witness them, they don't ever get the word of God. They're not going to wake up and think about something they've never heard. Amen.
Amen. That's good preaching. Fast.
But I'm telling
you, preaching, man.
We've got to reach them. Amen. We've got to reach them. God's looking for a man. Now, sad thing in our text, God said, I found none.
Yes, sir, brother.
Zero. I mean, none is zero with the rim rubbed off. Nobody. God said, I'm looking. I'm pleading. I'm searching. I'm begging. I just need a man. I'll stand between me and my people. And God said, I can't find one. Can I tell you that same God today is looking at Grace Baptist Church this morning?
Yes, sir, bro.
I'll stand looking for one.
Amen, brother.
Is there one? Is there anyone who can make themselves available? Is there anyone here? Let's say, God, I'll be that man. I'll be that woman. I'll be that go-between for those little boys and girls on my street. I'll be that go-between for those people in my part of the neighborhood, for those people on the other side of the tracks. I'll be that person. I'll reach you with the gospel of grace of God. Lord, if you'll let me, I'll go. If you'll send me, I'll go. I'll be that. God's looking.
Yes, sir.
You say, how do you know God's looking today? Let me tell you something. Isaiah, God speaks through his word. In Isaiah chapter number 6, Isaiah said, I heard the voice of the Lord God saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us?
Yes, sir.
You know God is still speaking through Isaiah 6 today? The word of God is alive today.
Yes, sir.
God is still in the councils of heaven saying, looking out over the portals of glory, looking into this earth, his eyes still running through and through the whole earth and show himself strong on the heavens, one whose heart's perfect. And God's saying, is there one? Is there one? Who will go? Who can I send? Who will go for me?
Yes,
who will go to that street? I'm going to tell you, God's concerned about souls in Africa, but we're not in Africa right now. Amen. He's in Troy. Amen. God's concerned about souls in Troy. Amen. And I'm saying, God's looking for someone who'll say, I'll get out here and I'll witness to my neighbors.
Amen.
I'll witness to my people over here. I'll witness to my friends, my family. I'll go. I'll be that man.
Amen.
God's looking for a man.
Amen.
God won't come up empty handed as he looks this morning, will he? God won't look across our church and say, I saw. And I found none. I found none. He won't come up empty this morning. Would he? Let me just give you this.
I'll be done.
Let me just give you this.
Good preaching.
Is anybody here at all? Hear the call of God this morning? As he says, whom shall I send and who will go?
Amen, brother.
Anybody at all hear the call of God? Anybody look around and say, man, there's a world out there dying and going to hell. Almost half our world's never heard the name of Jesus Christ. God, if you'll let me, God send me. Anybody like that at all? Coca-Cola, the front page of their website, they brag on the front page of their website that 94% of the world's population, 94% of 7.5 billion people recognize the red and white logo of Coca-Cola. Can you believe that within 150 years of their conception, they said we've reached 94% of our world? And 2,000 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, 48% of our world lies in the heat of darkness, never having anybody here hear the call of God? Anybody here feel the heartbeat of God? I'm telling you, his heart beats for souls. Number two, does anybody here hear the cries of the damned? You say, the cries of the damned. You know, as I preached to you in 2017 this morning, in a world that no longer believes in hell, do you know hell's real this morning?
Yes, sir.
Do you know hell's on fire right now? Do you know that for the last 6,000 years, there's not a day hardly that's went by that people have not died and went to hell? Do you know that between right now, this time right now, and this time tomorrow, do you know 36,000 Muslims will die and go to hell between right now and tomorrow at this time? 36,000 Muslims around the world will die and go to hell. Most of them never even knew that there was a Savior who died for their sins. My soul.
Yes, sir.
Jesus died at Calvary. He sure liked to get what he paid for, but he can't get what he paid for. People don't know that he died for them. Amen. I'm simply saying, there's people in hell this morning that are crying out. You say, you believe that, preacher? I do.
Yeah.
You believe in people in hell praying? I don't believe praying for the dead avails one bit at all, but I believe there's people in hell praying for the living.
Yeah.
In Luke 16, there was a rich man died and went to hell, and the Bible said in hell he lifted
yes,
up the body of being in torment. And I'm going to tell you what that man did when that man realized he could not get out of hell. And by the way, if you're here not saved this morning, if you're so unfortunate as to die in your lost condition and end up in hell, you wish to God you'd gotten saved this morning after this message. Hell's real, and it's on fire, and it's consuming souls, as I speak, terrible terrorist attacks last night in England, people died. Who knows who were prepared to meet God last night, had their life snuffed out of time, and they're in eternity now, having went to parties last night in pubs, and now they've checked out into many of them a crisis eternity, planning on living a long life, but they're now gone from this world. You say, there are people in hell crying. And that rich man, when he realized he couldn't get out, he said, Father Abraham, have mercy. He said, send Lazarus. And he said, man, I'm sorry, no water, buddy. And your mercy's on me. And when he realized that he couldn't get out of hell, when he realized he couldn't have any water, when he realized there wasn't no mercy left for him, the rich man prayed and said, send Lazarus to my brethren. I've got five brethren. Warn them about this awful place, lest they come to this place of torment.
Yes, sir.
That rich man in hell, can I say this? He knew why he was there. He said, if one went from the dead to them, they will repent. He knew that he was there because he had not repented and trusted Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And he said, man, someone's got to go to them. I'm saying, can you hear the call of God? Can you hear the cries of the damned in hell? My grandfather lived in Baltimore, Maryland. I know my time's up. It's 5 hours. Give me 3 minutes.
Preach on, brother.
Listen, my grandfather was raised in Baltimore, Maryland. Grandpa George. Grandpa George, he was a religious man, but he was a lost man. At his mother's funeral, my great-grandmother's funeral, we went to the funeral, and he belonged to a big Lutheran church there in Baltimore City, Maryland. They occupy a whole city block. It's a big old Lutheran church. They got a hospital, all kinds of ministries and whatnot. And my grandpa, he took my dad and our family, he took us through his church. And as we went through the church, he would point out and say, see that brick on the wall over there? That's got your great-grandfather's name on it. See that brick over there? That's Uncle So-and-so. And then he took us down and said, see all this work in the basement? He had renovated, painted the basement. I did all this work. And after all this stuff, my dad would say, I was 17 years old at the time. My dad was doing most of the talking. And my dad said, George, that's very good. That's very nice. That's some good work you've done. But at the end, my dad looked at me and said, George, this is all good, but I have a question for you. If you died tonight, where would you spend eternity?
Amen.
Amen.
The last words I ever heard my grandfather say was, he said to my father, he said, if the Lutheran church can't take me to heaven, then I guess I'll go to hell.
Yeah.
And a month later, my grandfather was murdered in Baltimore, Maryland. We have no indication that he got saved.
Yes, sir.
I wish to God he would have. There's no indication that he got saved at all.
Yeah.
And in that moment that he was being killed, it happened so fast. I hope I get to heaven somehow in that last moment he called on God, but it happened so fast and it died so quickly that as most of the wicked, when they come to the point of death, God is not in their thoughts.
Yes, sir.
You wonder why I preach
way
I do,
with
the passion that I have. I believe I have a grandfather, and the moment he went to hell, there's family members prayed for him. I said, you can't pray for him. It won't do you any good. He's made his decision for eternity, and I wish to God it was different.
Yes, sir.
But I love that man, and there's nothing I can do about it. It drives me crazy to think about it, but I'm going to tell you something. I preach every time I preach with the knowledge. When I preach on salvation, when I preach about the things of God, there's a knowledge in my mind that I have a dead grandfather in hell. He's probably praying like that rich man. Oh, God, send James. Oh, God, send him to my brother's house. Oh, God, send him to that lost man's house. Oh, God, I don't want him coming to this place. I'm telling you, there's people in hell this morning begging and crying to God that nobody else comes.
Yes, sir, man.
If you're not saved, you need to get saved. And if you are saved, my soul, man, if we're saved by the good grace of God, and we've missed out on hell, we got heaven for our home. Man, listen to me. How in the world can we just sit back in our blessed security, praising God for our own salvation while the world around us goes to hell? How can we do it? We've got to do everything we can in the power of God to reach our world.
Amen.
Does anybody hear the call of God? Anybody hear the cry of damn? Anybody here? Anybody? This is it. I'm done. Anybody hear the call of lost sinners across the world? You say, oh man, preacher, my theology teaches me that sinners around the world ain't searching for God. And I understand what you're saying. Psalm 14 makes that clear. Psalm 53 makes that clear. They're searching for something. They just don't know what they're searching for. In the New Testament, we have a man by the name of Cornelius. He was searching. And after he searched for a good while, amen, God's rewarded those diligent to seek him, amen. After he searched for a while, God told Cornelius, send a man out to Joppa. And while God was preparing Cornelius for the man, God was preparing Peter for Cornelius, amen. And God brought them two together because there was a man looking. Paul came to a place in his ministry where he was praying about which way to go. He said, go to Bithynia. God said, no way, you can't go there. He said, go to another part of Asia. God said, you can't go there. And Paul went to sleep one night, and God gave him a vision. And in his vision, he saw a man from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. Amen.
Amen.
I'm saying to you that there are people around your world, they don't know what they're searching for, but they're searching for something better than what they got. They've got peace. They don't have joy. They don't have contentment. They have no security. They have no guarantee about the future. And we don't want to have the answer. What are we going to do with it? We're going to close every head, bow every eye closed. I'm going to close and turn over to the pastor here. But let me just say this. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, does anybody here this morning hear the call of God? Whom shall I send? Who will go? Is there anybody here this morning that say, Lord God, if you'll give me breath to breathe, if you'll give me life to live, if you'll give me, Lord, I'll go out. Man, Lord God, I'll reach the people. I'll stand in the gap for my neighborhood. I'll stand in the gap for my street. I'll make sure every person on my street hears the gospel of the grace of God. Lord, here am I. Anybody here tonight, this morning, hear the call of sinners saying, come over and help us? Does anybody here hear the cry of the damned saying, send someone to my father's house? If you're like that this morning, there's hands raised. If you're here this morning, you say, man, I can hear that. I know God. I'm not asking you to surrender to be a missionary this morning. I'm not asking you to go to Africa. If God calls you, I'd certainly say follow. But I'm asking you, if God's dealt with your heart, if you hear that call, he's looking, would you? I'm not going to come and talk to you at the altar. Now, if you're not saved and you want to come get saved, I'll certainly talk with you. But otherwise, if you're here and you say, man, I can hear the call of God. I can see the need. I want to make a difference. I'm asking you this morning just to take a step out of your pew and come down to an altar and get on your knees before God and say, Lord God, you're searching. I'll be that man. I'll be that man. I'll go to whom and to where to deliver the message of the gospel to those people at that place. Amen. Right now, the altar's open. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Say, Lord God, I'll be that man. Lord God, I'll be that woman. Lord God, I'll be that boy. I'll be that girl. Lord, I'll be that witness. You went to Calvary to die for me. I'll spend my life living for you. If you died for the souls of Troy, New York, then I'll spend my life trying to reach the souls of Troy, New York with the gospel of the grace of God. Lord, if you died for sinners across the world, I'll give you my life. I'll put my body, I'll put myself on an altar of sacrifice and say, here am I, Lord God, use me. I'm asking you this morning to do business with the Lord. While these are praying at the altar, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, if you're here this morning and you're not sure that you're going to heaven, I'd love to take the Bible. The pastor would love to take God's word and show you this morning how you... We're preaching about sinners out there. There could be someone here that needs to be saved. If you're here this morning and not saved, would you be willing to just step out of your pew and come down here? If you're a man, we'll have a man take the word of God and show you how to be saved and present you with that choice. You can... Man, we're not going to make you get saved, but we'll just take God's word and show you how you can get saved. If you're a woman, a lady will take the word of God and show you. If you're here not saved, man, don't put it off. I preached just for a moment on hell, but hell's real. It's hot. You don't want to take a chance with your soul. In fact, you're not taking a chance. If you walk out of here lost, man, there's no you can't prove you'll be alive the rest of the day. I can't prove you'll die today, but I'm going to tell you right now, sooner or later you'll die, and it's hell to pay for eternity if you're lost. But God loves you, and he died for you, and you could be saved from sin and from hell this morning. And then if you're here and you are saved, maybe you didn't raise your hand, maybe you didn't come forward and say, man, I'll make myself available. I am pleading with you this morning. If God was standing right here, he would be pleading as well. You say, how do you know? Because he told us in Scripture, I sought for a man. I sought for a man. I sought for a man. It's sad that God has to be seeking for men. We ought to be seeking for God. We ought to be begging God for opportunities to reach his world that he died for with the gospel of the grace of God. But he has to find us. But oh God, as he reaches across our heartstrings, as he speaks into our hearts and lives, would we be willing and obedient to his calling this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning. We thank you for these that have come forward, Lord God. Lord, who have made a conscious decision, Lord, to humble themselves before you at an altar and say, Lord God, you died for us. We'll live for you. Lord, you're looking for a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl
will be that man, that woman, that boy, girl that you're looking for, that'll reach a world for whom you died with the gospel, the grace of God. Take, Lord, from off this altar, I pray, these people, these bodies that have presented themselves as living sacrifices, take them, O God, and turn this town upside down. Turn this state upside down. Lord, use them, O God, to reach their world with the gospel, the grace of God. Work in them mighty. Work, Lord, through them what they could not accomplish in the power of their flesh. And I pray, Lord God, that together as they work in their town and as we work in our place of our calling and as different folks, this brother coming from over Iowa way, Lord, if he works over there, Lord God, as every one of us will be obedient and in the place of our calling to the people of our calling, Lord, may we reach by the time you come, and I believe it's soon, may we reach our world with the gospel message of the grace of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.